This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we're live here on Pet Life Radio, and we are live here on Instagram. Here I am at a different venue. I happen to be at the North American Veterinary Conference, now known as the VMX. And this is, what's cool about this, it is the absolute largest veterinary conference in North America. It is just, it's amazing. There's so many things. New York Yankee, hello. Steven, hello. So here I am, 3,000 miles away in Orlando, Florida. And just here for you, here for your pets. And we are just waving and waving and waving. So this conference is really unbelievable. Interestingly, the opening last night, the speaker, the headliner, was Kevin Costner. He was here and he gave honor. He was up on stage for over an hour and it was amazing. He was, he's like such a really cool guy. Everything seems normal. You know, questions just about his career, the fact that he's, you know, such an animal lover. He really is. And, you know, those horse scenes and all those things, he ran horses, that was him. So he's obviously a pretty seasoned horse guy. So anyway, it was a lot of fun. So a couple of things I want to talk about, but I also want to hear from you. Any questions you have, now's the time to ask. I'm waving at everybody, but I want some questions. So the show officially opened today. Well, the classes have been going on, and which is great because all of us need our amount, our fair amount of what we call a CE, continuing education. I think it's like almost like, I think 30 plus hours every 2 years. So the one conference I would normally go to, many of you recall I usually do this time of year, this week, is the SCIES, Colorado Vet Med Association Ski CE, and that is the best. But it just so happens it coincides this week with VMX, and I have to be at VMX, so I'm missing SCIES. So instead of being at a wonderful venue this year, it's at Vail, I am instead sitting in a closed studio booth outside a new course. I mean, there are so many conferences that are going on like every single minute. It's unbelievable. Talks that nonstop. I think they say 1,300 hours of continuing education. I don't know, talking just small on events. They have a zoo, they have large, they have horses. I mean, everything is here and it really is. It's really cool. So one of the things that, you know, we've talked about this before, that these conferences are great for a number of reasons. First of all, when we're limited as to how much time we can get away, we learn so much from coming to these conferences that, you know, it's amazing. It keeps us up to date, keeps us involved, it keeps us engaged, and also lets us know what's going on in the industry. So already, there were a couple of things that, a friend of mine is relocating to Israel. Is it safe to take her chow? The answer, yes, there are chow chows in Israel, but the problem is going to be getting the chow to Israel. It is, anytime you're getting a dog into Israel that has never been there before, it is a process. You need to give yourself at least, to be safe, 6 months. The basics are the following. They need at least 2 rabies shots. The rabies shots could have never come out of date. So that's very important. Then you also have to have what's called a rabies titer test. But in order to do a rabies titer test, you have to have at least 2 rabies shots a month apart. So right now, whoever you're looking at least a month. Now, once you have that second rabies shot, in order to get a titer, which is a blood test that proves that the rabies shot was beneficial, that it actually created the immune response, that you want to do 3 or 4 weeks later. So you want to make sure the immunity builds up or else they're going to reject you. So that's another month. Then to go through all the paperwork, all the stuff through the USDA, through the APHIS, which is the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service, and then getting it to Israel, it's a process. So the answer is yes, but it's going to take a lot of work. And depending on when they want to go, usually people say, oh, I was hoping to go next month. No, you're not going next month. Well, you can go next month. The dog's not going next month. So it's really something, a lot of preparation, and that needs to be done. So past week, my almost 17-year-old Jack Russell's back legs aren't working. Oh, working around 50% of the time. And now what do you recommend? So here's the thing. Being 17-year-old is good. The fact that they are weakening, that's very normal. You know, it's so hard to tell. You can rule out only so much. It's probably muscle weakness. It might be a disc along the back or partial disc. It might be pain. So in a case like this, I don't start with an MRI. The fact that the dog is using them, it's a good sign. So I would start with x-rays. and look at especially the discs at the very lower back, lumbar and lumbosacral. Then I would evaluate the knees, because we know that these dogs can have stifle issues like cruciate ligament, like medial patella luxation. That's a luxation of the kneecaps. So that's important to check out. It's just baby muscle. So what you can do is give like some medication in non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, something like Librela, which is an injection against arthritic pain. If the dog has good range of motion and isn't really feeling like it's having an issue, then it might be fine from that perspective. So, of course, work needs to be done, but I mean, just be prepared. There may be nothing that can be done to really help. And once you get to that point in a 17-year-old dog, to recommend like a CT, anything you're going to get on a CT, it's unlikely that you're going to be able to do a whole lot about it. And they're very expensive. So you have to always look at the cost versus reward and see if it's worth it. Now, this from Shannon. I'm fostering a VP dog with pneumonia. It's taking usually long for her to turn a corner, but she started eating finally. Do you think LA air quality is affecting the dog's lungs? Well, yes. I would say there's a likelihood if something happened, a change, radical change in the last several weeks, then I would say very likely it is due to the air quality. I know a lot of people are now walking around with masks more than ever before in LA because of the air. I know when the fires were at their worst, I would wake up and walk outside to take my dogs and it was just coming at you. It was crazy. So yeah, that is also, it's a likely problem. So what you could do is have an x-ray taken of the dog's lungs and see if they're okay. And otherwise, keep indoors, keep the walks shorter, keep the walks more comforting, less exercise or exertion during the walk so they're not panting and breathing all those that dirty air in. That would be the recommendation. Next up, I wanted to talk about what's going on in the industry. And this is just short term. I mean, I haven't even really, the exhibit hall opened this morning. So, I mean, it's huge. There are so many booths, so many purveyors of product, of new services. It's actually great. So what I want to do is a couple of things that just caught my eye. First of all, I met someone last night, two guys with my friend Adam Crispin. I was hoping Adam might be able to come and join me, but he is so swamped. So I'm waiting maybe for him. I'm in a little booth here and there must be some session going on because there are a lot of people walking outside this booth. Anyway, so it's an enjoyable, it's just a bold concept. So it's so interesting. We know that dogs have about 50 times, they have 250 to 300 million olfactory receptors in their noses. We have 5 to 6 million. Think about it. It's insane. And yet their taste abilities are way, way less than ours. So what this study showed is that what makes dogs eat something is more the smell than the taste. When they walk away from something, it's because they don't like the smell. I have one cat that is so obnoxious. I mean, personally, he's gorgeous, but he will not eat leftover food. If I have leftover food that he ate, chowed down yesterday, but there's some left in the can, and I try to give it to him the next day, he just and walks away. He says, "What are you joking? I'm not eating that crap from yesterday. I want a fresh batch." So this bowl concept is really cool. So you have a flat plate on the bottom, and you put some really good food, people food, whatever it is that you know your dog goes nuts over. Hamburger, chicken, whatever it is, cheese. Then on top of that, you put a bowl with little teeny, teeny holes in it, and you put it down flat against the food that was there. So now that odor from the food below, which is the human food, which you know he likes, starts blending, scooping up into his dog food, whether it's canned, whether it's dry. So now what happens is when you feed him, he's going to eat the food, his food, but it's because he is smelling the good food that he really likes. It like tricks him into believing that, oh, that's the food. I love that food. I thought that's very, very clever. I'm 100% going to try it. I haven't tried it yet. I just saw it for the first time. And when you have to feed your dog really special diets, you know, like for kidneys or for liver or for skin, something, skin allergy, whatever. And you know, these things are the tastiest products. I mean, I have this for cats all the time. They get kidney disease. And now you want to give them a special diet for the kidneys. And guess what? They're not eating it. So I'd say to him, look, it's actually more important that he eat something than starves because he won't eat the kidney diet. So I'm finding this very attractive that, you know, maybe he's got something there. Maybe it's something that will be really, really cool. And So I'm going to talk to the company, see if we can get them to give a couple of mentions for the show. So anyway, so don't go away. It is that time, 12:17, halfway through our show, 9:17 back east. How about that? Now on Eastern time. So don't go away. We'll be back after these short messages from our sponsors. We'll see you in a minute.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Back on here on live. So you hear me moving around. My mouth is moving, but you don't hear me. Now you hear me. So we're talking about things like Gassettes and Beano. Those are the products that people take for excessive gas. And it does seem to help pets as well. So yes, I would say that it's certainly worth a try, but also sometimes adding fiber to the diet might help. So a couple of things that I picked up going through the ADMA Smart Brief. And that is that, first of all, cancer treatments, it seems to always be a hot topic. And it's one of those, well, I think one of the faster moving topics where newer and newer things are coming out all the time. I went to one talk, which is a great talk, and it is basically all about different supplements. Things like, you know, you take omega-3 fatty acid supplements, antioxidant supplements, like for things for joint, liver supplements like SAMI, S-adenosyl. It turns out that all of these do play a role in helping against cancers. There's one new product out, and I don't have the name yet, really cool. And what it does, it is a product that comes from broccoli, and it has proven anti-cancer effects that seen to help certain cancers. They used it in, for example, a dog that had bladder cancer. And it was, I mean, they went as far as they could with surgery and started coming back. And they put this dog on this, it's a concentrated broccoli spear, something or other, and it is holding the cancer at bay. It's amazing. And a lot of people don't really want to put their dogs through chemo. And now there's some really good oral medications that seem to really do the trick. So that's something that you can also think about is for cancers, talk to a veterinarian. And a drug like, you know, Lomustine, this one called CCNU. There's some really new stuff out there that might bridge that gap between really hardcore chemotherapy, which I know a lot of you don't like to do. And I find, interestingly, most people that whose dogs have had cancer in the past and then get a new dog, and the new dog, hopefully later in life, is diagnosed with cancer, they don't want to treat it. So it kind of tells you that maybe it was the cost, maybe it was the end result, maybe it was less than what was expected, and they don't want to do it again. So here's what I think. I think that in cases like that, you got to try some of these new oral medications. I've used many of them, and they actually work great. So 100%, that's what I would do. My 8-month-old Gordon, I love Gordon Setters, gets car sick, and I really enjoy taking it with me. And he's just what I could give him. Okay, so yes, when it comes to car sickness, it's truly not always actual motion sickness. Because if it was, then you can use things like meclizine, bonine, dramamine, things that people take. It's more of an anxiety thing. So what I find is that, it could be motion. I'm not saying it's not. You could try those things. But I think the motion sickness medications may help. If you want to treat the anxiety, you want to give them something that'll calm them down, or short-term a Xanax or a Trazodone, things like that. Even gabapentin. Gabapentin has a sedative property. Benadryl has a sedative property. Those are easy things. So what I think the best way to do it really is what's called behavior modification. And by that, the key is this. You want to, right now, for some reason, he gets anxious in the car, whether it's a fear, behavior, whatever it is, you need to overcome that. So what I recommend doing is this. I can pretty much guarantee, as a Gordon Setter, there is a treat that he really likes. Okay. So what you do is, and it takes a while. This is not overnight success. This is when you're going to want to take your car, your dog in the car often, and you want to break this fear, this anxiety, this vomiting. So of course you can give him anti-vomiting medication too. Serenia actually has a dose for travel sickness vomiting. So that's always, it can be done. I don't know if Ondansetron will work for that, but Serenia, meropitant, does have a good dose for that. So what I recommend is this. You take the dog and you put him in the car. Hop up, hop up. Good boy, good boy. You sit down in the seat, start the engine, turn the engine off, get out of the car, go, good boy, and give him the treat. And then that's it. Lesson one, done. Lesson two, maybe 2 days later, get him in the car, sit down, make sure he's strapped in well, all the things you're going to do, and then start the car, let it run for 10 seconds longer, no movement, get out of the car, undo him, take him out, good boy, give him a treat, go back in the house, go outside, whatever you do. And you keep doing this each time a little bit longer until you're 30 seconds, a minute. Now, after a minute, you back out of the driveway, out of the parking lot, wherever you happen to live, and then count to 10, right back in the parking lot. You'll go out of the driveway, back in the driveway, back in the, you know, get him out. Good boys, treat, treat, et cetera. You keep doing this until you can, the goal, you get it. Each time is a little bit longer. And what are you doing? You're making the car fun. His association now is not something fearful, not something that's anxiety provoking, but rather he gets his treat. This is good stuff. He's going to love this. Then you get to, you go around the block. And what you, of course, you don't go is someplace he doesn't like. The park, he should love it. So it could be this excitement going to the park, whatever the case may be. So the key is, so you want to make the whole process something that's enjoyable, that's fun. And at the end of the day, he's going to get his treat. So then your next stop is going to be like, a little strip mall parking lot. You don't get him out of the car yet. You sit there. And then when you get him out of the car, treat, treat. Good boy, back in the car, back home, treat, treat, good boy. You want to make his whole experience positive. It might take 2-3 months to do this, but once he's got it, he will jump in that car, so happy to go and know wherever he goes. When he gets to the destination, he's getting out, he's getting his treat. Then at the end, he goes back in his car. That's what you want to do. So if you have any questions about that, let me know. All right, I think we got them all. If I missed any, you know the drill. So you can always get a hold of me. Next week, I will be back in my home studio back in LA. And anyway, thanks for joining me here on Pet Life Radio and Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff and Instagram Live. And I enjoy this so much. Hopefully, I'll learn some more good things to bring back home to you, which make me a better vet. You can always learn every 5 years. That's why these things are great. I remember a message from one of my mentors back in veterinary school over 40 years ago. That was every 5 years. Half of what was gospel is going to be obsolete. I see it all the time. See it around me. So anyway, it was great being here with you. As I said, I will hopefully have some new things to talk about next week. Hopefully, you will be showering me with questions about what I can do to help your lives easier with your pets and to keep your pets happier, healthier, longer. See you next week.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.